What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your show where we talk about all things basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And the big four of the podcast world is still here. As always, joining me, it is no other than the man that I keep calling Trio, but you know him as Leo. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Happy to be on again this week. Let's talk some basketball.
Joining us as well is Mr. Taple Double. Tay, how you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Feel like we got lots to talk about, lots of excitement in the NBA, especially the IST lately.
Oh, there's a lot going around, indeed. And last but not least, the King of Kentucky, the Kentucky King. Screw the bourbon. Blake, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Kentucky's on a high in college basketball right now, so I'm floating in the sky at this moment.
That's Kentucky is a place to be, I'm sure. I have no doubt about it. All right, folks. Well, like Tay mentioned, there's a lot for us to talk about. We're going to check in on the Bucks, who recently played the Blazers, so I can't wait to hear Tay talking about this. We're also going to talk about the Orlando Magic, the Celtics. We're going to talk a little bit about Kentucky, actually. And if there's time, I'm going to give you guys a roundup of my most recent trip to Mexico City. So let's dive right into it. Hey, I know last night we were exchanging messages because the Milwaukee Bucks and one Damian Lillard faced his former team, the Portland Trail Blazers. And it was, to be honest, I did not expect that, but it was a bit of a doozy. So the Bucks ended up with the win, but I want to hear all about it from your perspective as a Blazers fan, seeing Damian facing the Blazers and the game itself.
Yeah, a little bit bittersweet. I think it's nice to see him compete, and it's nice to see him compete on such a good team, but you hate to see him do it against your own team. It wasn't at home, so it hasn't been Dame's homecoming game yet, but I think the Blazers played them really well, which was surprising and maybe a little bit upsetting if you're a Bucks fan. But I think it was a successfully tanked game for the Blazers. They played as closely and as competitively as they could until down the stretch when they kind of, talent just gets the best of you. And the talent that the Bucks have on that roster is pretty overwhelming at times when they're all clicking. So, aside from that, I think the Bucks are starting to get things together a little bit. They did start the season off with a really poor defensive rating, but they brought that up to about fourth in the NBA now. Offense is where they're struggling a little bit, and I noticed some of that in the Blazers game. They just can't get into their actions as easily. Maybe not using the Dame Giannis pick and roll as much as possible. I'd love to see, perhaps some Giannis ball handler with Dame setting the pick and then running a little bit of pick and pop on a weak side. But, I think that they're starting to figure it out. My biggest question mark for this team is the rookie head coach, Adrian Griffin. I can't pretend like I know a lot about him or a lot about what he's capable of doing as a coach, but some questionable stuff that happened at the beginning of the season. I know that they had signed Terry Stotts as their offensive coordinator. Obviously, if you're a Blazers fan, you know that Terry Stotts is an incredible coach, an incredible offensive mind, quarterback, some of the best offenses in the last 10 or so years. And then it seemed like there was a bit of a butting heads and a disagreement, and Terry Stotts decided to bow out or however that got resolved. So, there's some question marks with this team, but overall, with the talent that they have on the roster, I'm just not concerned about them. They can see them stay poised, and you saw it during that Blazers game. They got down big. They got down by 20, but they know that they're playing a young team. They know that they can come back pretty easily if they just rely on their, what works for them and rely on their talent. So I think it just speaks to the Bucks' season a little bit, that game. Starting off a little bit slow, don't really know what's going on. Still seems like, it's a bit of a your turn, my turn, who's the guy right now. We haven't really experienced, or Bucks fans haven't really experienced Dame time yet. So I'm looking forward to watching this team throughout the rest of the season. Nothing's really changed in terms of my expectations for them.
Let me ask you, Tay, yes, you're right. It was not the homecoming game, but, first time Damian facing the Blazers, were there any mixed emotions there as a Blazers fan? Anything they were like, it's like weird seeing him, with the other jersey, even though he's played a number of games already as a Buck?
I don't know. I think the weirdness passed after I saw the promotional images that came out with all their pregame stuff and Dame in the Bucks jersey. I'm just ecstatic that he's on the Bucks, because I love Giannis, and watching them play off each other has been more or less a dream come true. Wish it was in a Blazers jersey, but that's the way things happen. I honestly, if the Blazers didn't get such a hefty rebuild with the pieces that they have, I think I'd be a lot more upset. But Blazers reloaded really well. They sent Dame to a place where he gets to go and compete. He gets to truly compete. He gets to compete with, you know, probably the best pairing that you can find for him in the NBA. You know, maybe a Jokic or an Embiid might be better, but Giannis is pretty exceptional and certainly fills the holes that Dame leaves with his game. So, you know, bittersweet a little bit, but I think most of that's passed for Blazers fans.
I do have to admit that I'm a little concerned about our prediction today for the Bucks. I think we both have them coming out of the East, and there are games where I see them dominating, and this time around, I was just, you know, I can't believe that they were fighting their way back against the Blazers, with all due respect.
I mean, yeah, I think that they just haven't had any consistency. Like, you know, yeah, they'll blow out a team one game, but then, you know, they followed up with a couple, then they play down to people's level or team's level. And you know, that's what we saw in that Blazers game. Is, you know, the Blazers are a very inexperienced team. They're running a bunch of rookies, but running a bunch of under 21-year-olds. They're not trying to win, right? Realistically, not trying to win any games, trying to lose as many as you can. And the Bucks were playing down to that level. The pace, maybe the emotions got a little bit. Everyone got really excited to, you know, Dame's playing his team again. But it's the consistency. And this is where I'm a little concerned with the rookie head coach. And you know, are you going to be able to lead a team with this type of personalities and these types of guys on the roster? Are you going to be able to take them all the way? Are we going to fall short in the Eastern Conference? What does that mean for, you know, the future of the Bucks and Giannis's future there as well? I know he'll certainly sign that extension, but
it's ultimately going to come down to just Dame and Giannis, right? And if they're going to be able to play with each other simultaneously and also learning this new system. You're right. I agree with everything you've said. I wouldn't sweat just yet, Rod. I think the Bucks are in good shape because they have Dame, who is the professional's professional, as well as Giannis, who is the same. So they're going to try and figure out a way, and they both want that chip together. So we'll just have to see how that turns out. But yeah, we got to remember that, like, Dame isn't the only one adjusting here, right? Like, Giannis is also adjusting to playing with somebody of that caliber, but also what Tay was saying, learning a completely new system, right? He's been playing this way since he's been with the organization and has been the 1A and B, right? But now he's sharing that torch with somebody else who he's never been in that position. So yeah, the defensive rating, hey,
look at
right, like they're starting to glue together on that end, and that's what ultimately wins championships. Their offense will come.
It will. I just, you know, you leave such a big hole when you trade someone like Drew Holiday, who is a defensive player of the year caliber player, despite never winning the award. One of the greatest defenders in the league currently, in my opinion. But you leave such a big hole when you pull someone that is such a strong perimeter defender and can, you know, potentially defend all five positions, for certainly all four, you know, the top four positions. But Damian is not known as a perimeter defender, as a perimeter guard. He's been playing a lot harder on that end than he did in the last maybe couple years as the Blazers. You know, so you can see why he might be playing a little bit harder, but he's still not there, right? And the load that he has to carry on offense, for how small he is, how slow he moves laterally on defense, there's holes there. And, you know, it's not being plugged up. Chris Middleton maybe needs some more time. You know, he's out injured again and in and out. And Pat Connaughton isn't really a defensive stopper. Grayson Allen they gave away in that trade. So you have to wonder, they're going to have to make some moves here because they need some sort of perimeter defender, some sort of guard stopper, ball stopper, so they can take Damian off and maybe hide him in the corner on a PJ Tucker. But there's a couple of concerns, but overall, like Leo said, like I just can't doubt that talent. You
know? Every team's got concerns, right? We're not even close to being at the end of the race yet, right? I mean, that's like a, you know,
they're only one game behind. Go ahead, Blake.
Well, I think when you look at it too, I mean, how many times has history repeated itself where when you have such a superstar player coming to a new team and you're changing that dynamic, things don't click usually always right away, right? There's hurdles, things you have to get through working together as a team, getting used to two-star players or more, depending on whatever team in the history you're looking at, just adjusting to that. And there's, you need to look at the big three back in Miami. You know, there was an adjustment period. People were like, is this a mistake? Are they ever going to work out well? And then as the season got along, they start to get more familiar and they start clicking. And I think that's something that we're going to see with this Bucks team as the season kind of progresses. I mean, Dame is still clutch Dame. I mean, if you kind of look at the early season right now, Damian Lillard, right now in the NBA, in games that are decided within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of a game, averages 7 points per game in that period. That leads the league right now in the NBA. So he's always been known as clutch Dame, and that's continuing through this as well too. But I think for Giannis, getting used to not always being that primary man at the end, but I think that kind of helps spread it out a bit too. So I'm not too concerned. I don't think that the Bucks are going to kind of come out on top in the East, but I mean, they're a dangerous team when you have two players like this. I still feel pretty good about them.
So I need to make a bit of an amendment here, because I said that they were fourth in the NBA in defensive rating, and that just felt wrong to me. And I was looking at last year's stats. So they are 20th in the league in defensive rating and sixth in the offensive rating. So that's a little more in line with a Damian Lillard led team, or at least Damian Lillard led from the guard position team. Defense is not there, right? And especially it starts at the perimeter. You've got these all defensive team talents with Brooke Lopez and Giannis, and but there's nothing. There's no one stopping the perimeter. There's no defense along that. So it's maybe for an on-court concern is probably my biggest concern, but certainly one that I think we'll see them attempt to tie up by the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris Middleton's also moving from the second option to being the third, right? And so that's a bit of an adjustment for him as well. How are you guys feeling about Dame not being able to dunk, though?
That was tough.
Look, all I know is that the rookie coach, his days are numbered. Giannis gave him the depth stare. We've all seen it with LeBron. We've all seen it from Kobe. My man, I mean, there's only 30 jobs at those. You got it this year. Congratulations. It was nice to meet you. But that's it. Regardless of the outcome, he's done with the Bucks.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, I have to wonder how much that Terry Stotts thing might play into it too, right? Like, I know Damian Lillard was really excited to play with Terry Stotts again. Obviously, Terry was Dame's one and only coach until they fired him and moved on to Chauncey Billups two or three seasons ago. So obviously a big connection there and a lot of trust. And with Adrian Griffin and Terry Stotts not seeing eye to eye and Terry ultimately leaving, you got to wonder how much of an effect that has on a guy like Damian Lillard, who, is used to being, the princess, the belle of the ball on a team. There's still lots of question marks. To answer your original question, Rod, lots of question marks. I'm not overly concerned just because of the talent level and what Blake was saying, but there's question marks. And until those get answered, they're not coming out of the East, unfortunately. I mean, we're going to need to see a step forward from Adrian Griffin, or we're going to need to see the defense shored up, or both. But if we're talking consistency issues and defensive issues, a team like the Celtics don't have those, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're going to talk about coming out of the East, realistically, I think we need to answer those question marks first.
That's why we love the NBA. These question marks.
Oh, can't wait to do my revised prediction and just, take back everything that I said originally.
me too.
Having said that,
Dennis Schroeder is an all-star this year.
One of my biggest things on that preseason episode was, and this is a great segue, Paolo Banchero. I don't know if you guys remember. I remember vividly sitting here in my throne, my dropping dimes throne, and I said, I'm very disappointed of Paolo Banchero and his performance with Team USA. I didn't see, that fire, yada, 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 from, early October. Well, boy, was I wrong, because like Freddie Mercury said, it's a kind of magic, baby. Look at the Orlando Magic, boys. They're second in the Eastern Conference, just behind the Celtics, one game behind. I mean, the Bucks have the same record, and yes, it is still very early in the season, but I got the chance to see this team live in Mexico City, actually losing against the Atlanta Hawks. But was it so much fun to watch this young and upcoming Orlando Magic team? They are this year's Thunder, right? Where they're just clicking and they seem to be all, they found their role. They also, their head coach, not a rookie head coach. He's been there, what, I think 3 seasons now. Jamal Mosley with the team. But seems like everyone sort of found their position and they're okay with the role, right? Paolo Banchero has had a great season so far, but everyone else knows what's their role in the team and they're buying into it. And it's one of those few teams where you can tell that, I'm not saying that the rest are not, but you know, I'll compare it to my own Lakers where, you know, yeah, definitely you need AD or LeBron to have great games on a regular basis. But with the Magic, it's a collective effort. Now, I don't think this is sustainable by any means. You know, they'll definitely go down in the standings. But, you know, I'm sort of happy to see the Magic after all the trash that I've talked to them. And I do apologize to the 24 Orlando Magic fans out there. You get more than the Clippers, I'm sure. But, you know, your team is actually really fun to watch. And I take it back. I think right now my favorite player to watch is Jalen Suggs. He's so quick. He's got that swagger. He feels the team clicking. You know that Banchero might not be the locker room leader, but I think someone like Jalen Suggs, like Cole Anthony, you know, they're definitely being vocal. And it's just such a joy to watch them. But I don't know, what do you guys think about this, you know, sort of surprising Orlando Magic?
Let's say I think it's been interesting to see the Magic because so many people, including, you know, myself, we kind of write them off, but they're kind of like unheralded. You know, they have some great pool of talent. When you think about Caro Wagner, you know, you think about Jalen Suggs and others as well, too. Like so many people kind of talked about the rebuilding projects of the Thunder, the rebuilding projects that the Pistons are going through. But I feel like the Magic have kind of creeped up under the radar and have developed some great talent pool there through the draft and just obviously what they're building. And I think you said it well, Rod. It's really the selfishness that they have. Like they're so great team oriented and they're all buying into this. And shout out to Mark Spears. He had a great article. He did an interview with Jamal Mosley as well, too, just kind of talking about their resurgence, what they're going through. And the head coach there, Mosley, was actually kind of talking about, like, everyone's excited for the other teammates to do well. Like, there's no, oh, man, you dropped your 30. You know, when's my time to shine? You know, let me get my buckets. Like, they're all bought into their role and what they're doing there as well, too, which I think, you know, says a lot about that as well. And it's amazing when you look at it. Like, this is a young team. The average age of the Orlando Magic is 24. They only have 11 players with 3 or less years experience, or I should say they have 11 players with 3 or less years experience. I mean, they're a young team within that, and look at how they're performing through that too. And they have good depth as well. Like you think Banchero, arguably the best player, but they don't have a single player on the roster averaging 20 points right now, but they have several players that are averaging above 11. So like they have good solid depth kind of going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like your shout out for Suggs there, Rod. You know, he's stepped up big time, especially in lieu of the guard injuries that they have and just always seem to have every year. A few things I want to point out. I'm not seeing the offense still, right? And to what Blake was saying, there's no the guy, right? There's a couple guys and there's a couple players that are really playing well. And part of that is just them being young, right? But the offensive rating sitting at 19th is a little worrisome. And I think a lot of that has to do with them being young, them not having a true point guard that's been able to stay healthy on the floor so that they haven't had that consistent play from the one spot. But the thing that might be most surprising with this team, and perhaps maybe not as sustainable as Rod was saying, is their defensive rating at second. You know, especially with some of the defensive powerhouses that are in the East right now. You know, this is a team that has really made or built its identity, at least for this season, on hard-nosed defense, buying into the system, as you guys are saying, and just trusting each other. I have been a little disappointed with Franz. I'm a really, really big Franz Wagner fan, but he just hasn't been shooting the ball well this year. He's regressed from, let me pull up the percentages again before I misquote, but his first two seasons, he was at 35 and 36% from three. He's dropped that down to 29% this year, so obviously a ton of room for improvement. Again, I think a lot of that has to do with them not having a true guard that is capable of setting the table and getting them shots where they want them right now. I think that a lot of people were expecting big things out of Fultz. Unfortunately, he went down with another injury. Hopefully they get him back soon. I know they're certainly not going to rush him, but I just think that that's the biggest thing that this team is missing. Certainly if they could get a guy that that could just be a bucket getter, right? Or a bucket getter in isolation that could free up the middle for some of these guys. I think obviously down the lines of an Anfernee Simons type of player, obviously someone that's from Orlando and would love to play for the Orlando Magic and would certainly be available from the Blazers for the right price, in my opinion. But there's guys there, right?
GM Tayus already making trades here. I love it. I absolutely, yeah. I honestly love it.
Yeah,
I'm willing.
I was gonna say like a Zach LaVine, but here we go with the head sign.
Yeah, I think a Zach LaVine would be fine, but I just don't trust Zach LaVine's mentality, right? Especially from what we've seen with the Bulls, and I think he's a little bit too old. I like an Anfernee Simons. He's 23, 24. He's a bucket getter. Can also set the table a little bit. He's a shot creator. Can definitely open up the floor for, you know, more catch and shoots for Franz. Maybe a little bit more isolation or post play from Paolo. A little bit more floor spacing into the corner. You know, I don't want to get away and say, oh, the Magic need to do this in order to improve. The Magic are doing great, and I've loved what I've seen from them.
Yeah.
But you know, there's lots of room for improvement here. I'm worried about the sustainability issues with their defense. But I also see it going the other way and saying, you know, maybe it's not as, you know, I don't expect Franz to shoot 29% from three for the rest of the year either. I expect him to get healthier. I like what I've seen from Suggs. He reminds me a bit of a Josh Hart type of player where he's just balls to the wall when he's out there. He's playing as hard as he can. He's hyping up the defense. He's got that passion kind of like Marcus Smart was for the Celtics for all those years. I know that's a really obvious big comparison that I'm making, but I've liked what I've seen from him. I was a big fan of his when he played for the Zags, right? So it's nice to see him get some run and build some confidence and build some camaraderie and whatnot with the rest of the team. But man, Franz, shoot the ball better. Come on, you're killing my fantasy team, dog.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony's played that's really weird. Well off the bench as well, too.
I mean, he
dropped 30 the other night. Yeah.
But see, it is that everything that you guys just mentioned that, you know, this team is going out and competing, right? All of them.
The effort. They're putting in the effort.
And that's why I'm, you know, I guess I am the 25th fan of the Orlando Magic in Vancouver because, you know, the past four or five wins.
26.
they beat the Nuggets and the Celtics. And those are, you know, really big wins for a young team.
Yeah.
I'm looking at their schedule and it has not been the toughest schedule. And, you know, their next two games are against the Wizards, like very winnable games. And if you get those two, and then after that is Brooklyn. Fairly winnable. They make it a 10-game winning streak. Oh, my goodness. I mean, after what? Four, five seasons of the Magic being sort of irrelevant and being on a limbo.
So only four or five?
I think it was
2019.
Feels longer. I'm with you.
Forever, though. Yeah.
Right. Pre-pandemic. That feels like 15 years ago.
Shout out to the Knicks, by the way. Oh, sorry. what I meant to say was...
Shout out to the Knicks here. Yeah.
Oh. my apologies. But I think, you know, especially in the East, when you have the Cavs that they went from, you know, last season, they were that sort of up and coming young team. And now you got the Magic saying, move over. Here comes the Magic. This early good start is going to leave them in a, like we said, it's not going to be sustainable, but it's going to leave them in a really good terrain, you know, later in the season, you know, at least playing tournament scenario. At the very least.
I think the big thing for them, though, is like looking at their future is they really need to look at a blueprint. Like we've talked about the Thunder, for example, like when they're seeing this success and it continues. And again, you know, maybe it is and likely may falter down a little bit. You know, who knows if they'll sustain what they're doing right now for the rest of the season. But I think all of us are going to agree they're having a much better year and will have a much better year than they did last year. But to, you know, once they kind of go into the offseason or kind of looking forward, I don't think you should just, you know, when you're looking at free agency and you know, maybe you're a more desirable place to come to now as a free agent, like you don't reach for the stars right away, right? Like I think you don't want to damage the chemistry that they have and the young talent that they're building through there as well, too. I think sometimes teams get caught up into really trying to bring in those big value players or those stars to really make a difference. And sometimes I really think it ruins what they're building as a foundation. And I think they just need to kind of continue the blueprint that they're going moving forward.
I think I think they really want to see if they can get Fultz healthy, because they're really high on him, and I know a lot of people are really high, myself included, coming into the season. They also have had, you know, they've been playing without Wendell Carter Jr. for the majority of the year. I think he only played 4 or 5 games before he went down with an injury as well. So, you know, they don't have their full lineup. They don't have their full starting lineup. They're missing 2 out of their 5 starters, right? So, maybe they're finding some found change here, digging in the couch cushions for some good guard play right now. But they also kind of have a glutton of guards, and this has been what people have been talking about for the last 2 seasons or so, is saying, you know, it's coming up now. Like, we need to make a decision. Like, who are we going with? We've got really good guard play from a Cole Anthony, from a Jalen Suggs, from Markel Fultz, but we don't have one guy who's stepping up and running away with it, right? I think they were hoping that was going to be Fultz this year, but, you know, I know I'm being a little bit negative. I shouldn't be, because this is really exciting from a really young team, and they've got really, really enticing pieces, and they're starting to, you know, build some cohesion. They've got that coach that, you know, Jamal Mosley has done a good job there so far in instilling some winning culture. Let's hope they can keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. And, you know, still a young season, but, you know, at least there will be a fun team to watch for those of you that have League Pass. Make sure to follow them. And we'll see. Also, Markel Fultz's shot. Oh, my God. I saw it live. And it's still something to talk about. But not now. Now, moving on to a less pleasant topic. There's a team in the state of Massachusetts that wears green and white. And I think they're doing okay. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to what they do. But I think, Blake, you have something to talk about. The Celtics, whatever you call them, take it away, man.
I do, Rod. I have quite a bit to say about the Celtics, because I feel not getting enough love as it needs to be through that as well, too. There's a lot of Thunder talk. There's a lot of T-Wolves talk. There's, you know, we're looking at these teams, you know, the Kings still as well, too. What about the Boston Celtics? I mean, best record in the NBA? Is that right? Is that what it shows there in the standings, Rod?
Best record right there, too? Or something, man.
Hey, but arguably, you know, some might say they on paper and even visually are the best team in the NBA. I mean, in my opinion, this is the best team and will be kind of going forward throughout this season. I mean, they're probably the most kind of well-rounded as a whole when you're looking kind of just as a court of work through there too. Jason Tatum, you know, MVP conversation, you know, some of us on this pod may have some disagreements within that as well too, but he's having an outstanding season as a whole as well too, certainly deserves to be in that conversation. But one thing I do want to mention, that when you're kind of looking at the Boston Celtics as well too, I mean, there, you know, many people thought, obviously, with Drew Holiday coming in as well, too, a clear improvement, in my opinion, especially Tay was talking about this earlier, just his defense as well, too. He has struggled a little bit to kind of start the season, but, you know, I think his defensive prowess has certainly made a big difference for them. But the biggest thing that has kind of been interesting for the Celtics kind of this season, the positive story, I think, is their ability to win games when they don't shoot the three-pointer well. I mean, let me give you an example. Last night, they played the Atlanta Hawks. You know, the Hawks clearly outshot them when it comes to three. I mean, the Celtics couldn't hit a three if they were in the ocean last night throughout that as well, too. It was pretty bad, but they dominated the glass. And that's something that really helped out through there, too. And they won the turnover battle. If you look in the last season, they wouldn't have won that game if that was the case as well, too. So that's really been a good difference for them through there. But again, I think the Celtics are by far the best product that you see right now in the NBA. And they're a tough team to beat. And I think they have the depth. Al Horford is really, you know, he's probably made a great sacrifice. He's been coming off the bench. You know, he's only come off the bench 10 games in his entire career before this. Obviously making room with Drew Holiday, Derek White starting at the point guard as well too, Porzingis in there. But this is a tough team.
We credit to Tingus Pingus because, you know, I think he sort of found himself in a situation where things are working for him, and it's kind of rare to see him thriving.
Yeah,
it's a perfect team for him. It's a perfect team composition for someone like
Chris. It really is. Yeah. They're really clicking right now. And everything I think Blake has said is, I definitely agree with. And they also have like figured out that kind of like next level of like, okay, you know, we're not shooting the ball very well tonight, or like we're not rebounding very well, but they're finding a way to win. And I can't help but think that like Drew Holiday has a big part in that, because we haven't seen that from JT or Jaylen Brown in the, you know, previous years, but Jrue Holiday, just that kind of championship mentality. I think, I hate to say it, but like, they might be my favorite this year.
No, no, Leo.
I don't want to say it. I feel kind of gross just saying that, you know?
Find the mouthwash. We'll wait for you. It's okay.
They look good. Like, Blake, you're right. They look really, really good. I don't... Yeah,
but okay.
They're the most well-rounded team in the league right now.
No, Tay, not you too, man. Come on.
I mean, listen. I'm not going all positive there, right? There's definitely some issues that this team could run into in the future. You know, the most obvious would obviously be their depth issues. They're about six deep right now, maybe seven on a good day. And especially if we're going to look towards the playoffs and being competitive at the top level of the playoffs there. You know, we're five deep with Al Horford as our sixth man, Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench as well as our seventh man. It's definitely worrisome if we do get an injury to some guy that might be a little bit injury prone, like a Kristaps Porzingis or like a Jrue Holiday. You know, I might be a little bit more concerned when we get into the playoffs, but for a regular season team right now, very, very well rounded. You know, it's been impressive how good they've managed to be with Jaylen Brown being so bad. Where is Jaylen Brown? I think there's missing person posters all over the state of Massachusetts looking for this man. I don't know what's going on. A 12-point game, a 13-point game, shooting 30% from the field. Good Lord. But, you know, Jrue Holiday.
Well, they're still finding Jrue ways Holiday. To win, though. Like, that's the thing. Jrue Holiday is their second best player.
The team composition is perfect for a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, but they have less than no depth. They have zero depth. They can go six or seven deep in the playoffs, and if they lose one guy, they are going four or five deep. Can you win a game with four people on the floor? I don't know. Can we win a playoff round with Peyton Pritchard playing 35 minutes or Luke Kornet playing 12 minutes or, you know, O'Shea Brissett or, you know, my bad to disrespect a fellow Canadian there. But, you know, I'm just concerned about the and this is my concern going into the season. This is why I chose the Bucks first. I just don't believe in the lack of depth. I think that it's going to bite them in the ass later. We've seen it happen time and time again with a team like the Clippers, right? It's just not going to happen if you're so top heavy and you go into the playoffs. That being said, Jason Tatum is very young. Jaylen Brown is very young, not super injury prone players. And I think that the biggest thing they have going for them is the continuity. The team composition is so good. The continuity is there. They've got a tremendous tremendous coach. It's a tremendous product that they're putting on the floor right now. I just don't know if it's still going to be there when we hit the playoffs.
This is going to be KP's year, man. He's going to stay healthy and he's going to dominate.
We've watched this movie before where one of us, not me, says that the Celtics are the best team and, you know, a contender, yep. Which I'm not saying they're not.
Blake, we got some haters over here, man.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm not even going to pretend that I'm not hating. I'm not even pretending.
I mean, we know you. But
look, geez, look at their schedule. Honestly, you know, I rarely do this because for our listeners, but I'm going to share my screen. Look at that. Look at that and tell me, you know, who their losses, they were against actual other contenders and their wins against mediocre teams, right? They lost against the Sixers. They lost against the Timberwolves, which, you know, shout out to them. We'll make sure to talk about them. Heck, they even lost against the Magic, right? They haven't really faced any juggernauts. And
you got to win against the Bucks. You got to win against the Sixers. You got two wins against the Knicks, the wins against the Heat. The Pacers, they blew out the Pacers. 51 points, Ryan.
Blake. I mean, I am currently watching the Blazers beat the Pacers right now. I don't know how much we're wanting to put stock into the Pacers.
Shout out to Haliburton.
51 points.
Yeah. I'm sure that if we get Evs or Raf and one of them as our bench, we could potentially give the Pacers a run for their money. We would lose, but we would give them a run for their money.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you guys have to admit Rod is right. That's a little bit of a weak schedule. They're 1-1 against the Sixers, and they lost against
just
the
a
Wolves.
Little bit.
They're losing against good teams. I'm not going to read too much into that when we're early in the season, but we haven't seen the Celtics get over the hump. You know, we saw them make the finals once. We haven't seen it since then. I just don't buy it unless I see it. They're going to have to sell it to me because this team has no depth. You can't tell me that we're relying on Peyton Pritchard to be our backup point guard on a championship squad. It's just not. Sam Hauser is like the eighth man. Like what? Like one injury and we're screwed. Two injuries, call it a day. I just don't buy it.
I feel like we're like giving them. I feel like we're talking about the same team as like the Bucks here though, right? Like they're adjusting to new players. It's a brand new season.
What you know, new they're. Wait.
Hey, Drew Holiday? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Two starters.
That like that are trying to figure out how to play.
They don't have a new coach. This is the same system.
And we're giving
new coach.
This is not apples to apples. This is not apples to apples.
I'm just trying to see where's the hate when you have clearly the best team in the NBA right now as well. I mean look.
I'm real.
But when you look at go through that schedule again, I mean, most of their wins statistically are teams above 500. I mean, we just talked about the Milwaukee Bucks and how good they're looking as well, too, with some issues, but they're looking good. Of the 17 games they played, 10 games, more than half, were against teams below 500. You want to talk about a weak schedule?
They beat the Bucks without Middleton and with a team that is trying very hard to create a brand new identity. The Celtics have their identity. They've had their identity for years.
Jason Tatum has been. You got two new players in your starting. Two new players starting. And statistically, shout out to advanced stats in the NBA right here. The Boston Celtics have the best starting lineup in the NBA statistically. Let me read this out for you real quick. Top five, they've outscored opponents by 27 points per 100 possessions in the NBA. That's the best of any lineup that's played at least 65 minutes. But yes, I will agree with Tate. The depth is certainly an issue. And obviously one injury could change a lot of that as well too. So yeah, I won't disagree with that.
I think there's still a great regular season game. I would not be surprised if they have the best regular season record when we go into the playoffs. But when we get to the playoffs, and we've seen the durability issues with a Kristaps Porzingis and with an aging Drew Holiday, they lose one or both of those guys, and I don't see them making it out of even the second round because I don't have enough. Yeah, that's my biggest concern is with them. You know, I can look at their stats all season, and yeah, maybe they had a bit of a softer schedule or not. It's hard to say when there's only been like 17 games played, but they are fourth in defensive rating. They are eighth in offensive rating. They're top 10 in both categories. That's where you want to be when you're a true competitor and when you're trying to win a championship. But they need to address these depth issues.
We can say that about the Bucks too, right? Like Dame's injured last year,
The Bucks are a little bit deeper, and they can afford to absorb some of that. Of course, you lose one of your top two guys, you're not going to win nothing. If they lose Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, they're not winning nothing. But we're not talking about the top two guys. We're talking about the other guys in the starting lineup. Even God forbid they lose Al Horford. Who are they going to who do they have coming in behind Al Horford? Al Horford's 45 years old at this point. We're going to expect this guy to give like 25, 28, 31 minutes in the playoffs. I'm just nervous. Like we can't play Luke Kornet in the playoffs. We can't play Sam Hauser in the playoffs. We can't play Svi Mihaljevic, or however you say that guy's name, in the playoffs. They got to make some moves.
Bring in that big body.
Bring in DeMarcus Cousins. Why not? He's probably better than he's probably better than Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet.
Look, as long as catching strays.
I agree. I'm sorry, Sam. I know you're listening.
Look, Kornet strongly believes in the eclipse technique. That's all I have to say. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. Google it.
All right, Ron.
It's nothing. Okay, it's safe.
It's like a flat earth thing.
No. He believes in the eclipse technique in basketball. Just Google it very quickly, dear listeners. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. None of you guys have the Joel Embiid finally getting over the hump and coming out of the East this year. Like, they're playing really good too. Maxie's looking like an all-star, like for real. Mm. So, like,
I'm not counting them out. They're doing great for sure. I don't see them getting past the Celtics or the Bucks, but I mean, yeah.
Rod's a hater, man. I'm not even gonna break that news yet.
I'm picking up fight today with the Sixers because they called AD a flopper. I'm not saying that he's not, but also Joel Embiid, like Seriously, like, talk about big time floppers. Your center is one of the biggest floppers in the league right now. Nothing wrong with it. I don't hate flopping. It's part of the game. You got to learn how to sell it.
Oh boy.
Yeah. All right. Well, clearly the Celtics are triggering for this crew, and well,
I will say the Sixers look pretty good. I do think that they're built to beat the Celtics a little bit better than the Bucks are built to beat the Celtics. I think the Celtics are more built to beat the Bucks. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are a little bit more equipped to beat the Sixers. Sixers are a little bit more equipped to beat the Celtics. So, you know, it's a little bit of like a triad at the top there. It'll be interesting to see how matchups shake out and where people end up. But, you know, depth issues. I'm just worried about it because we see it every year. Some team that has high expectations falls short because of depth issues, because of an injury to a key guy, and they can't absorb it and they can't win in a game or two or be competitive. I'm just nervous. I'm nervous with Celtics because we haven't seen them take that step beyond. We haven't seen them finish off the whole song and dance. And they've been up there for years. So, you know, it's easy to like to have that doubt creep into your mind when we haven't seen them be able to step over that. And one of their strengths used to always be their depth, right? So, you know, it's a new challenge for them. I don't know. Maybe they're all healthy and maybe they go all the way. I don't know. That'd be crazy.
We'll see. I hope not. all right. Let's go to neutral grounds here because our very own Blake, in his hometown, his home state, I should say, of Kentucky. You went to see the Wildcats, Blake.
I did.
Their home arena, the Rupp Arena. Ooh. Tell us everything about it, please.
Yeah, so as everyone may know, I'm a diehard University of Kentucky sports fan. I grew up right outside Lexington, Kentucky. So I had the wonderful pleasure to attend a game last Friday night. So Kentucky played Marshall University. We are Marshall, for those that haven't seen the movie. It was an amazing time. You know, Rupp Arena, and I try to say this from a non-biased perspective, but, you know, when you think about the NBA, you know, you think about Madison Square Garden, you think about, you know, formerly the Staples Center, but, you know, being the mecca of the NBA in terms of arenas, Rupp Arena is really known as kind of like the mecca of college basketball, or one of them, I should say. It's such a great environment. The fan support, it is a crazy fan base. So they definitely are diehard and always on Calipari, both good and bad. But it was such an amazing game. Kentucky had a dominant win. They beat Marshall by 36 points.
Ooh, wow.
Had the pleasure too. They set a record, most points ever scored at halftime. They had 69 points at half. They had 118 points in the game. They almost set a record for Rupp Arena, which was 127, so they were 9 off. I did win, me and my wife, we won a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. They do a promotion, Chick-fil-A, hey, with the University of Kentucky, where if the opposing team misses two consecutive free throws, you win a free Chick-fil-A sandwich. So I have that coming my way. And
that's always embarrassing. That's always so embarrassing. As you break two free throws and the whole arena's going mental.
Oh, literally.
Free food.
As soon as he misses the first one, literally everyone's chanting and they know what's happening as well too. It's crazy through that too. And they do it the whole year. And I will say, looking forward to next year's draft, Kentucky has a deep talent looking at that too. I mean, they have a few players that are projected first round picks. Probably top is Justin Edwards. Actually, he's Jonathan Givney has him as number 4 right now, prospect coming into next year's draft. DJ Wagner, son of Dewan Wagner, for many of you that might remember, former top 10 pick to the Cleveland Cavs. Also, John Calipari coached him at Memphis as well too, but he had a great game. He had a game high 28 points. Rob Dillingham, by the way, a name to remember if you don't know him, reminds me a bit of Jamal Crawford. Crazy crossover, very quick jump shot, fantastic handles. Someone that, you know, kind of a little bit under the radar, but yeah, it was a great time.
The arena looked like it was absolutely bumping. Like it looked from all the things that you shared on Instagram, which for those of you listening, if you haven't, go take a look at the experience that Blake shared. It looked absolutely amazing. Like, honestly, I told you, like, I added it to my bucket list of hoops. It's, I've never been to a college basketball game, but if I ever make the point of going to one, I think, you know, the Wildcats should be up there.
We'd love it. Yeah, feel free. It's an amazing time.
Can't wait. And, you know, the You know, as a fan of the University of Kentucky, you know, is it any frustrating to you that, you know, I mean, on one side, yes, you always get, you know, draft prospects or very high draft prospects, but at the same time, there's no continuity for the team?
So I would say over the past few years, definitely. I mean, Kentucky's been known, especially since John Calipari's been head coach, as quote unquote one and done players coming in, coming out. And that's really kind of hurts. I mean, we haven't, last national championship we won was 2012. We haven't been to a Final Four since 2015, which for Kentucky standards, a team that has more victories than any other team in college basketball history, that's definitely a frustration point. And, you know, but the thing I think is different about this team is we have some experienced players, actually. So, you know, they got some grad transfers. You know, we have two players that have played 4 years that came from other institutions. So they are getting used to a new team, obviously, but they have some of that collegiate experience, which is good. And especially within March Madness as well, too. They really feel like a cohesive unit, which is something we've kind of lacked a bit, too. So I have high hopes for the team this year. We are still without three. We have three big men that are 7 foot or taller, all three of them that are currently out right now, too, with injuries that are getting ready to come back. One's a player from Croatia. I call him the Croatian sensation. But the NCAA has not yet granted him eligibility because they're checking his amateurism status. So we're hoping he gets eligible soon.
Very cool. Very cool.
That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Boys, we need to organize a trip down to Kentucky.
Definitely. Well, the March Madness, they're going to have a couple games in Spokane in March. I think maybe a 7-hour drive from Vancouver. So that'll be the closest that we'll get. But as far as I saw, like you buy session tickets and you get to watch all the games on that day. I think there's two days worth of games, a Friday and a Sunday. I think there'll be two or three games on each day. So that'll give me something to think about.
Yeah. If Kentucky's in that region and plays there, you guys can guarantee I'm flying out for that one. So,
ooh, a little reunion. Sure. Maybe the stars will align.
Love it.
Maybe.
Love it.
All right. Before we sign off, it's been a couple of weeks now, but I really wanted to share, you know, a little bit of the trip that I had down to my home city of Mexico City, because guys, and I shared this with you privately and then over social, but I had the opportunity to travel with the one and only Mr. 2020, Lee Ellis, you know, formerly with the Starters, with No Dunks, with the Basketball Jones. He's now in his own project, trying to visit 20 countries around the world and playing 20 pickup games in 20 cities. And Mexico City was stop number 18. He's been on this journey for about a year now, and he's almost there at his goal. Obviously, I think, you know, chatting with Lee, he said that he's going to continue traveling the world. But it was absolutely amazing to get the chance to, you know, show him around the city. And he was great to travel with. You know, he wanted to experience it like a local. He didn't want to do, you know, he wanted no fast food. He wanted to eat like a local at every taco stand. And even the first night we went to an old school like canteen, and I told him like, hey, we eat a lot of spicy food when we drink, so feel free to say no. And there goes my man eating a shrimp cocktail kind of thing that was super spicy. I'm like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to see him tomorrow. But no, he was up and early tomorrow, the next day. We got to see the Hawks and the Orlando Magic game, and it was just surreal to kind of hear from him because, you know, he's seen the Hawks countless times, and for him to, you know, the analysis that he was sharing over the game, I was like, I think I'm dreaming, honestly. And
that's incredible.
Amazing.
The funny thing about the game is obviously it was the NBA game in Mexico City, and the crowd was wild, you know, very, very passionate fans. It was very weird though, because there's no huge fan base for either team. It was just like, hey, we're gonna cheer for the sport in general. So every time there was a basket made, regardless of the team, the crowd just went wild. But every time there were free throws, there was all this booing and jeering towards both teams. So it was like, this is so odd in a way to, like, you know, the Magic goes to the free throw line and it's boos and jeers. And same with the Hawks. No player was safe. And every time one of the free throws was made, the crowd exploded into cheers. So I'm like, this is weird. At the end of the night, Trae Young had an absolutely crazy night. He scored 41 points. He gained a lot of fans. He definitely had, you know, a few flashy moves here and there, and that sort of resonated with the crowd. And then the next day, we went to the season opener and the home opener for Capitanes, the G League team based out in Mexico City. A completely different experience. The arena was almost sold out. 18,000 people just for a G League game. Wow. And I mean, wow, that was a lot. As far as I know, and I think I did my homework, the highest attendance so far in the G League has been like 12,000 for the Dallas Legends. And I'm pretty sure that we broke that by a few thousand. Obviously, the vibe was entirely different. We had a home team. The game was against the Osceola Magic. And yet, anytime a player from the Osceola Magic touched the ball, they were drowned by boos and cheers. And every time any Capitanes player touched the ball, you know, the crowd went electric. The Capitanes have a super team for the G League: Juan Toscano Anderson, Trey Burke, Michael Carter Williams, and the Manimal, Kenneth Farid, who's still out with an injury.
Hey.
But I mean, if you told me that's
a crazy team, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. A couple prospects. There's one Mexican American player there, which is good for the sport. And overall, you know, I think this is good for Mexico City as a potential destination for the NBA itself. The game is growing. Mm-hmm. People, you know, are showing up to these kind of games. Now, obviously, Capitanes they have games like Wednesday or Tuesday night, which is super weird. Those games are not, you know, 18,000 people. But the ones that are all over the weekends, they made it affordable. They made it like a social thing where you want to take your family, where you want to take your kids. And you get sort of like NBA talent, right? You have all these crazy fans in Mexico City that, you know, want to get closer to the NBA. And honestly, the front office has done a good job at recruiting some former NBA talent. And these guys are showing up because they want to get back into the league. So honestly, it was a really good product that we saw out there. And very, very excited that I was able to share with Lee, who, by the way, will be dropping them soon. So for those of you listening, stay tuned because Lee Ellis, the international man of mystery, will be joining us on Dropping Dimes before the end of the year.
We need to intro him exactly how he was introed at the Starters.
I don't know if he wants me to call him Lily, we'll see. We'll see.
Brand I like cool. how you, I like how you went there with the expansion. I think that Mexico City would be such an incredible location. Obviously, second to Vancouver here, but I think Mexico City would be such an. You know, there's such electric fans down there, and especially everything you just described, getting 18,000 people for a freaking G League game is out of this world. So, I'm glad it's getting some recognition down there, and hopefully that continues to roll. I think that the expansion will be Seattle and Vegas, but maybe give us a couple more years and we'll do Vancouver and Mexico City. That'll be fun.
That'd be great. Oh, absolutely. What was your favorite part with Lee in Mexico City, Rod? What was your highlight other than the NBA game? What did you enjoy the most with him?
Seeing Lee trying grasshoppers. So we went to a museum, and on the way out, I saw this little stand, and they had grasshoppers, which I absolutely love. So I told Lee, like, hey, give me a minute, wait here. I got a little cup, and I was like, I'm pretty sure you've never tried these. They're grasshoppers, and you know, you see the whole thing, and I mean, it's not like they're pulverized or anything. It's a freaking grasshopper. So if you're not into
what is it? Give us a description. Is it deep fried? Like, what is this?
It is like sauteed, they're thrown in a pan with lime and salt, and that's about it.
Mexican. Little lime, little salt. Salt everything.
Perfect.
Sounds great.
I'll put up some like any other pod, maybe the show notes, I'll add a picture, but it can look pretty gnarly. I grew up around this, so to me it's normal, but you see it's not like you don't know what you're eating. Mm-hmm. You can tell
that's it's a grasshopper.
A grasshopper. Yes. You see the legs, you see the body. So
How are you catching that many grasshoppers so you can just saute them up and sell them?
Actually, that's a really good question. I've never stopped and thought about it. I will get on that, I promise.
Yeah, please report back on how you catch grasshoppers.
I went to a Oaxaca restaurant one time, and they had grasshoppers on pizza that you could eat as well, too.
Yeah, they're very common in the state of Oaxaca. You throw them on quesadillas. But yeah, so I told Lee, like, hey, you know, I popped one in my mouth and it was like, that's how you eat them. It was like, let's go. No hesitation. He had two. It was like, crunchy, limey. Never again, though. I was like, fair enough. I'll definitely take that. The man tried it. And,
one and done.
It was great. Yeah.
You shared a grasshopper with Lee Ellis, my man.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Did you cheers grasshoppers?
We didn't, but it was definitely funny to see him, you know, just he went live very quick on his Instagram and just introduced me. He said, you know, what was happening. He was like, all right, he goes nothing. And then he has another one. And I'm like, damn. Okay.
Give us a review here. Is it like, does it pop when it hits your mouth? Or is it nice and crispy, like crunchy?
It's a crunch. It's a big crunch. It's almost like eating chips. So you
feel juicy that. Though?
No, it's dry.
Really?
The only
body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that I find annoying is that the legs, because they stick out, they get stuck in between your teeth.
Like in your teeth.
Oh, so like you smile.
Which is in there.
You smile and then you see a little leg sticking out of your tooth.
Okay.
It's kind of weird in a way. And then you're like, you just fish it out and out of your mouth. Yeah. When you guys go to Mexico City, when we have an NBA team, because I'm sure that we will at one point, I'm treating you all guys to grasshoppers.
I can't wait.
I'm all for it.
No way.
Whew. All right, boys. That was a great episode. Thank you as always. For those of you listening, make sure that you follow us on Instagram. @dropping.dimes. There's a lot of content that we still need to pump out and that we will continue to pump out. Stay tuned for more exciting information there. If you want to get a hold of us, send us a DM. We always reply. Make sure that you check out our Who Am I? We're going to do a lot more there. And until next week, hopefully with no mustache here, this is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace, love, basketball. Adios.